This week's parasha is Parashas Vayigash, Tavshanayin Ches, and we will begin on page 252. That's going to be Perek Memhei Pasuk Aleph. At the beginning of the parasha, we have Yehuda pleading with Yosef to allow Binyamin to go back to his father. So Pasuk Aleph reads, "Lo yochel Yosef lehis apek." Yosef was not able to lehis apek. Let's translate that as to endure. Lo chal nitzavim alav, in front of all those standing near him. Vayikra, he called out, "Hoytziu kol ish me'alai." Take out every man from around me. No one stood with him when Yosef made himself known to his brothers. So there are a number of explanations in the commentary of the Rishonim, the commentaries of the Rishonim, as to what this means. Yosef was not able to endure. So the commentary of Rashbam explains, Yosef could not endure anymore. Until now, Yosef was doing everything by keeping everything inside, by holding himself back in the whole time. Yosef saw his brother Benjamin. He had told himself back in, not to show any kind of emotion at that point of time, and he said, "Put down bread." So, Yosef could not hold himself back anymore. In front of all those that were standing by him, he could not restrain himself anymore, couldn't hold himself back in. And therefore, he called out to his servants and he said, "Everybody has to leave." So, according to the Rashbam, lehisapek means to hold himself back, because until now, that's what he was doing. Everything was based on holding himself back, not revealing himself, not showing any kind of emotion. But now he couldn't do it anymore. He could not hold himself back anymore in front of all the people that were around him. And therefore he told everybody to leave so that he could now reveal himself to his brothers. Now the thing is, though, that the Rashbam does not explain, though, as to why he says he wasn't able anymore to hold himself back in front of all these people. Now, the only thing is that the Rashbam doesn't explain. So, what was the problem? Why was it so important to tell everybody to leave? Yosef apparently was trying to restrain himself in front of everyone. He couldn't restrain himself anymore, and therefore he said, "Go out." What was the problem with having the people there? That the Rashbam doesn't explain.
Yeah, especially because the next pasuk says that everybody heard.
Well, that's a different problem. I don't know what to do with that. Mm-hmm. Now, there could be a difference, though, in the sense of, if they're standing there, or are they just here? You know, it is more uncomfortable, let's put it this way, right? It can be more uncomfortable if they're actually there than if they're not actually there, but they land up hearing it. But right now, you know, you're making a very good point, but right now the Rashbam is trying to give us a basic interpretation to the Pasuk, Yosef, and it makes a lot of sense what he's saying. Until now, we find that the Torah keeps saying that Yosef has to hold himself back in, and now he couldn't do it anymore. He couldn't hold himself back in anymore, and he didn't want to reveal, he didn't want to let himself out in front of everyone. The question, though, is, though, the Rashbam doesn't explain what was exactly the problem with everybody being there. Now, the Ramban, when he explains, the Ramban says that the word, when it says, Yosef could not lehis apek, so he brings down the Unkelus that says that lehisapek means Yosef was not able to be strong. That's what lehisapek means. Yosef was not able to be strong in front of all the people in front of him. So the Ramban explains, Vanochen be'enai, shayushon be'es parayim min ha-mitzrim anoshim rabim, that there were many people from the house of Paro, from the Egyptians that were standing there. Many of them, yachalu panav limcha le-Binyamin, they basically kept beseeching Yosef to forgive Binyamin. Because Yehuda's begging basically aroused their mercy. So what this means is that v'lo yochol Yosef l'schazek l'kulam. And Yosef could not be strong in front of them. Yosef was under a lot of pressure. There were people who were very moved by Yehuda's presentation to have mercy on his old father. And all these people joined in on Yehuda's side. All these Egyptians joined in on Yehuda's side. And they were pressuring Yosef to forgive Binyamin and let him go back.
But then why let him go, tell them to go out?
Wait a minute. Okay. And when it says Yochalach Yosef Lisapek, it means that Yosef was not able anymore basically to remain strong in front of them. He was saying no, Binyamin has to stay. They're pressuring him, no, he's gotta go. You gotta let him go, forgive him and let him go. And Yosef just couldn't stand up to them anymore. That's how he explains the words Lisapek. He's explaining Lisapek means that Yosef could not anymore remain strong under the pressure from everyone that was there telling him to let Binyamin go. Let Binyamin go. Now, why would he want them all to leave? Says the Ramban. And the reason why he wanted them out is Shahitziyah Misham Kadesh Lo Yishma'u Behazkira Lehema Mechira. He didn't want the Egyptians to hear about the sale. Kitziyah Lohem Vegam Olav Lemichshol. Because this would cause problems from him and his brothers. Because the Egyptians would now say about the brothers, Elohan She Boydus, these are treacherous people. You can't trust these people. We don't want them in our land. We don't want them around here. They betrayed their
brother.
They betrayed their father. What are these guys going to do now to us and to the king? And this also could cause him to mistrust in Yosef. This is the kind of family he comes from. They're not going to be so trustworthy of him either. So therefore the Ramban says that the reason why Yosef couldn't stand up to the pressure anymore. Couldn't stand up to the pressure of the people. All right, he had to do something now. So he was going to reveal himself. And he was going to talk to his brothers about the sale. That he didn't want to do in front of the Egyptians because the Egyptians would get a very negative opinion of his brothers and possibly of him if they would hear what he was to say. Now, Baris, here I will ask you a question, and I don't have an answer for it, but it says afterwards that they heard, right? The next pasuk says, "Vayitenes kaylo bevechi," he let out a cry, "Vayishmu Mitzrayim, Vayishmu beis Paro," Egyptian heard and the house of Paro heard. So if hearing means that they heard exactly what he said, then it seems like, you know, his plan failed. He didn't want them to hear, but he cried so loud, and he cried out so loud that they did hear. I don't know what to do with that. I don't know exactly what to do with that, unless you somehow or another can learn that they only heard him cry, didn't hear what he said. I don't know.
I have two more questions. One is that why does he need this complicated explanation that it's because the Egyptians were pressuring him? First of all, he's on top of everybody. Why would he care what his servants...
Well, let me see if I can answer that question soon.
But there is a...
But you see that they were ready to pressure him, too. I mean, they weren't afraid to keep begging him. So you've got to know, like, why would he bend under that pressure?
Right.
But you see that, you know, they weren't afraid to beseech on his behalf. But let's see, maybe I can help that soon.
But regardless, there is a human explanation, you know. This is his family, and he pretends that he is not what he is at some point. In fact, the English...
Well, apparently the thing is, though, that you have to understand that the Ramban is trying to deal with the word lehisapak. What does that word mean? So based on how Unkelis learns it, Unkelis is learning it as a question of being strong. He couldn't be strong in front of everyone. It's not like, you know, he couldn't control it. The Ramban understands that it's not a question of he can't control himself.
Of course, the English translation here, it says exactly that.
Couldn't restrain.
Right.
But again, you know, the English translation is choosing whichever explanation it wants to use.
Right.
My understanding is that the Ramban, working with the word Yosef means Yosef could never no more be strong in front of all those standing over him, understands that not as a question of he's plotting, you know, he just can't hold it in anymore, But he can't stay strong. Yosef wants to be strong, but he can't for some reason. Now, okay, so the Ramban is saying that Yosef could not, again, stand strong against those pressuring him to forgive Binyamin. And he sent everybody out so that they should not hear about the sale. So the Meshech Chachma, when he explains this pasuk, where it says that Yosef could not lehisapek, and maybe this Meshech Chachma would help us understand the Ramban more, about why did he feel he had to buckle under the pressure of the people telling him to have mercy. So the Meshech Chachma says, when the pasuk says Yosef could not, let's just use the word right now, restrain, okay? If the pasuk says he could not restrain, then that implies that if he was able to restrain, he would have restrained himself. Okay? Why is that? He wanted Yaakov to come down to fulfill the dream of the sun and the moon and all the stars bowing down to him, which was the dream that Yaakov would bow down. He didn't have to have mercy on them. It was not appropriate to do this in front of all the people there. They didn't know the whole story. Yosef came across as very callous and very cruel. Why don't you have mercy on the old man? The son is begging you, have mercy on the old man. He seems to be sincere. He seems to be real. Why don't you give in? Now, Yosef knows the whole story. That's why he's not giving in. But they don't know that. So the Meshech Chachma says Yosef could not hold himself back because of everybody there. Yosef would have held himself back, but he couldn't because of everybody there looking at him and wondering why is he acting so cruel. And that could be an explanation for the Ramban also. That when it says that the Ramban says he couldn't be strong against all the people, you know, begging him to let Binyamin go back, it could be the same idea. That Yosef realized he can't keep this going because it makes him look like a very cruel person.
It also, I think, answers the question that I didn't have a chance to ask, is when it says that he couldn't do something, it means that he had a plan,
right,
which he broke.
Right.
So what was the original plan?
Right. Right.
So the original plan was at some point, I guess, he would have told them who he was, but not right.
Well, a way that Meshech Chachma is saying, like you're saying, if the pasuk says he wasn't able to restrain or to remain strong, that sounds like if he would have kept going.
Right.
For what purpose? So the Meshech Chachma is saying, because he wanted to bring Yaakov to fulfill the sun and the moon bowing down to him.
And only then he would have told them.
Right, meaning apparent. Now, the thing is like this. What does Meshech Chachma mean exactly when he says he wanted to bring down Yaakov to fulfill that second dream? Was the second dream fulfilled? Was there a point of time that the sun and the moon and the stars all bow down to him? Is there a point that, was this second dream actually fulfilled? Do we ever see Yaakov bowing down to Yosef?
Who's the moon?
The moon is supposed to be Bila. But the thing is, do we ever find that happening? Now, I'm not sure exactly how this is dealt with by the Mefarshim. I think they say that, or at least one approach is that we see that Yaakov bows down to Yosef after he asks Yosef to take him to Israel to be buried. And Yosef swears to him that he will. And it says there that he bowed down to Yosef. Maybe that's, I think somebody says that's where it was fulfilled. Maybe we should just assume it was fulfilled, even though it doesn't say it anywhere. I don't think it says it anywhere. The way I understand the Meshech Chachma sounds like the real way to fulfill this dream of Yaakov bowing down would have been, right, to somehow or another keep this going and saying, no, Binyamin's not going back, and you're afraid that the father's not going to deal with it, bring your father here, and let them be together. And at that point, there would have been, now Yaakov would have come down and presented himself before Yosef, He doesn't know that it's his son, and therefore he would bow down to him. After he knows it's his son, then it already can be more problem. It's problematic for him to bow down. So the Meshech Chacham is saying, like you're pointing out, the pasuk implies Yosef could not hold himself back anymore. Could he? If he would have been able to hold himself back, he would have held himself back. Why? To bring down Yaakov and to have Yaakov bow down to him to fulfill the dream. At least in the way that it would have been the most appropriate way for it to be fulfilled. At the end, due to the fact that Yosef realized that he came across very cruel to all the people who were seeing what's going on, therefore Yosef said he couldn't keep doing this, and he revealed himself. Now, Rashi is the explanation that I think most people are familiar with on this part of the pasuk, where it says Yosef was not able, lisapak, to endure in front of all standing in front of him. So Rashi says it means, Yosef could not tolerate sheyiyu mitzrim nitzavim alav. There should be Egyptians standing there. V'shoymin she'achav misbayshim yivadu lahem. And they're listening as the brothers are being humiliated by the fact that Yosef is revealing who they are. So Rashi says, Rashi seems to explain, Yosef couldn't endure means he couldn't endure the fact, he couldn't tolerate the fact that his brothers would be humiliated when he revealed himself to them in front of the Egyptians. Couldn't tolerate that. So lo yachal Yosef lesapek, for whatever reason, Yosef is now deciding, okay, it's time to reveal. But he couldn't tolerate all those in front of him. He couldn't tolerate that they should hear what's happening and for the brothers to be humiliated in front of them. And therefore, he sent everybody out. So according to Rashi, the Yachal Yosef Lesapek means Yosef could not tolerate his brothers being embarrassed by the Egyptians being present when he reveals himself to them.
But this is a very different explanation.
Yes.
It implies that it was the plan all along.
What do you mean?
At that point, Joseph wanted to do it.
Right.
Whereas the previous explanation says that
correct,
he wrote the plan.
Correct. According to Rashi's explanation, it's not like Yosef would have continued if he could have. Yosef, at this point, it's like Yosef realized, okay, I've accomplished what I need to accomplish. Now I can reveal myself. However, I can't do that in front of the Egyptians because that would humiliate my brothers. That's a very good point that you make.
The next two sentences make no sense. Review the explanation in a sense. The fact that everybody heard him say it.
But again, I would answer that. They weren't there, though. They weren't there. They weren't there. Each of us weren't in the room. So it's not as humiliating to the brothers.
Oh, I see. Okay. That's
I mean, eventually it's going to get out. You'd assume it's going to get out. Maybe not. But, you know, the point would be, though, that if they're not in there, at least they're not present when it's happening. Okay. That's the first thing I wanted to share with you tonight, these different approaches to these words, what it means Yosef was not able, lisapek, to endure. And the Meshech Chacham also has a very interesting dimension in the sense that explaining that what Yosef would have wanted if he could have held himself back and why he didn't. Okay. Let's continue on. Pasuk Beis. Vayiten eskayle bevechi. And then Yosef gave out a cry, Vishma Mitzrayim, Vishma Beis Paray. Mitzrayim heard, the house of Parah heard. Vayomer Yosef el Echav, ani Yosef. And Yosef said to his brothers, I am Yosef. Ha'od avichai, is my father still alive? Lo yachlu echav la'anois oisai. And his brothers could not reply. Hinivalu mipanav, because they were frightened from him. How do they translate in English? Hinivalu mipanav.
Disconcerted. I don't even know what it means. It means that they were sort of confused.
They were confused.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were
confused. They couldn't put it together. Okay. I think the word nivhal also can mean frightened. Okay. So now, on this pasuk, we have to ask two questions. Number one, Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, and he said, is my father still alive? So all the mefarshim ask, what do you mean? You just told you the father's alive. The whole time they're talking about the father being alive. Why are you asking, is my father still alive? That's question number one. Question number two is, what exactly was going on? The brothers couldn't respond, right? Yosef says, is my father alive? Okay, and the brothers should have said, yeah, but they couldn't respond. because they were disconcerted or they were frightened. What disconcerted them? What frightened them exactly? So the Kli Yakar explains like this. Regarding the first question, why did he say, is my father still alive? So the first explanation the Kli Yakar gives is that maybe he didn't really believe him. Maybe there was no father. But they made up a story about a father because like this, it would help, you know, them get what they needed. Or at least at some point. Be at some point, at least at, or at least to this point where by Binyamin. Maybe he wasn't alive anymore, but they wanted to say he was alive in order to get Binyamin out. And therefore he said, Oida Vichai, is my father still alive? So what frightened them? Says the Kli Yakar, they didn't understand the question like that. They actually understood the question as a rebuke. Is my father still alive? He's my father, not your father. You didn't seem to care about him too much when you sold me. That's how they took it. And therefore, they took it as Yosef basically trying to say, you know, as Loimar Sha'aviv Hu Loyavichem, he's my father, not yours. Kiloy Chastim Al Tsarik, Kiloy Navichem. You certainly didn't treat him like a father. Al Kay Nibalu Vloyachel Anistavar. That's where they got afraid. Because they didn't understand it as a question, as an innocent question, or as a question, you know, is he really still alive? They understood it as a rebuke. Therefore, they got very scared. Then he says another explanation. The other explanation he gives is Lefi Sha'amani Yosef Lihiskar Achichem. When Yosef reveals himself, he says, I'm Yosef. He doesn't say, I'm Yosef, your brother. Okay, Nivalu Nechbazu Shamra Ada Chazasam. Ki Amaru Penyavakash Liyos Ayev Misnakin. Vesias Asmimina Achva. By Yosef not identifying himself as, I am Yosef, your brother, then they think that Yosef is actually becoming very cold, very removed. He's letting them know I'm Yosef, but he doesn't consider them his brother. He doesn't consider himself a brother. And that was also very scary to them.
It was scary also that we wondered what he would tell the father.
Okay. Now, let's take a look at the next pasuk. Vayomer Yosef el Echav. Yosef says to his brothers, Geshuno Eli Vayigashu, come closer, they came close. Vayomer Ani Yosef Achichem, I am Yosef, your brother, Shemacharta Maisi Mitzrayimah, that you sold me here to Egypt. Says the Kli Yakar, when Yosef says, I am Yosef, your brother, according to the second explanation, he's saying to them, I'm your brother. I am not looking at myself separate from you. And it could also be, according to the first explanation, that he understood, the brothers got scared because the brothers misunderstood what he was saying, and they thought he was saying, he's my father, not yours, because of the way you treated him, and therefore Yosef says, I am Yosef, your brother. We're all the same. We're all brothers, we all have the same father. This is all a way of reassuring them that he was not trying to be antagonistic to them. But now another question we have is, though, it says, Asher machartem oisi mitzrayma. Yosef says, I am Yosef, your brother, that you sold me to Egypt. Why does he need to say that you sold me to Egypt? If he says, I'm Yosef, your brother, it's understood. I'm the one you sold me to Egypt. Why does he have to mention that? Was it a dig? I am Yosef, your brother, that you sold me. Is that what he's trying to do? So the Kli Yakar says it means like this. That Yosef is actually bringing up a point. A point that actually should bother them, but Yosef tries to comfort them. And what Yosef is saying is, I am Yosef, your brother, that you sold me to Egypt. You know, if you want to get rid of me, there were better places to send me to. There were better places to send me to than Egypt. Egypt, as the Kli Yakar says, was shtufei zima, terribly immoral. And Yosef had to deal with that from his master's wife. So really, if you wanted to get rid of me, right, you should not have sold me to Egypt. This is assuming that the brothers knew when they pulled him out of the pit, and they were sending him to wherever they sold him to, that he was going to end up in Egypt. Yeah. But if that's what the assumption the Kli Yakar is working with. If we work with that assumption, so what Yosef is saying to the brothers are, I am Yosef, your brother, that you sold me to Egypt, which really was, you know, forget it. Besides the fact that you sold me, right, selling me to Egypt, that was even worse. Because you were sending me to the lions then. You were putting me in a situation that I would be lost. Just forget about a fight. Even if my life would continue, I would be lost. I'd become completely corrupt. But what does the next pasuk say? But now don't be sad. Don't be angry. That you sold me here. Because as a source of life, Hashem has sent me before you. What does that mean according to the Kli Yakar? Because again, according to the Kli Yakar, the point of Yosef is that, you know, there should be something, they should feel very guilty, very uncomfortable over the fact that they sold him to Egypt specifically. Says Yosef to them, no, don't be upset that you sold me here, that you sold me here to Egypt, because I have been sent here to be a source of support. Yosef is saying to the brothers like this, because you sent me to Egypt, and because I had to deal with the immorality, and I had to deal with my master's wife, and I did deal with it, I didn't succumb to her temptations, because of that, I merited to be the cause for you all to survive. You know why I got to this point? Because of the situation you put me into. Because you put me in that situation, and I stood up to this specific challenge, specific challenges of Mitzrayim, therefore, I was the one that merited to be the source of life. And the Kli Yakar brings a Gemara in Saita that says, if a person commits adultery, eventually he's going to go looking for bread, but he can't find it. There's some kind of connection between adultery and poverty, the Gemara says. Which therefore, says the Kli Yakar, means that if you deal with the challenges of adultery and you don't give in, then on the contrary, you now receive a source of livelihood. You now have livelihood. Yosef therefore says, because of the fact, so again, Yosef is mentioning about the fact that you sold me here, because in essence, you should be feeling pretty guilty of the fact that not only the fact that you sold me here. It says, Yosef, I understand though, at the end of the day, it's all understood why you sold me here. It was all part of Hashem's plan. It was all my opportunity. I was put into this challenge so that I would have the opportunity to stand up to the challenge and be the one, I would be the one to merit to be your source of livelihood. And the way that Kli Yakar says it is, Yosef is saying, if I would have succumbed, then I couldn't have been the source to save you. But now that I didn't succumb, what would have been the source to save you? There would have been some other source. But now that I withstood the challenge, I became the source. So the reason why Yosef is mentioning that you sold me here is because Yosef is coming to tell them that I completely understand and accept that this was my destiny. Because I was sold here, specifically here, which was really the worst place to be sold to, but I stood up to the test, that's why I merited to be the one to save you. And that's how Yosef is trying not to make a dig to them, but to actually try to comfort them. That, again, they had to deal with the guilt of selling. But part of that, the guilt of selling, was selling to Egypt of all places. And on that, the Kli Yakar says, Yosef was comforting his brothers and saying that by sending me here, that gave me the challenges to merit to be the source of life for all of you. That's why it's being mentioned here. So it's incredible how Yosef sees everything as part of Hashem's plan for him. This was my destiny. This was my challenge. This was going to make the difference of what I would accomplish in life. And that's what it was, and that's how I accepted. And therefore, Yichar Beinechem. Don't let it be angry. Don't let it consume you. Okay. Now, on this pasuk, v'ata al te'atzvu, and now don't be sad. Now don't be sad. And before you could be sad, what exactly is the now don't be sad? So the Aruch Chaim explains it in the following way. Pirish laseis tam lahasir melibam chshash hasina l'vayachashvu ki Yosef yistem oisam v'yisnayim al hashenis achzru olav. V'yibinim davar rochak shiyi alev Yosef nachar imam. Yosef, according to Aruch Chaim, is trying to convince them that, like he says, I am your brother, right? I'm your brother Yosef. But the brothers could be saying to themselves, you know, There's just no way.
Impossible.
How in the world could Yosef get beyond this? How could he get over this?
Yosef
You know, to begin with, Yosef says, you know, when you sold me, I really didn't get it. It was really beyond my comprehension how brothers could do this to a brother. And therefore, at that point of time, yeah, there was what for me to be hateful to you about. But Yosef says, "Va'ata now." Oh, I'm in the wrong one. Sorry about that. No. Pasuk Ches. That's what this Aruch Chaim is on, where it says, "Va'ata loy atem shalachtem oisihena." And now it's not you that have sent me here, ki'el lekim, but rather Hashem. So what's the now? And that the Aruch Chaim is saying that Yosef is saying that now, meaning after everything that I've seen, after everything that I've seen happening by me being sold down here, so now there's no more reason to be upset with you. Now there's no more reason to be angry because you didn't send me here, but rather Hashem. So if they're wondering, like, is it really possible that Yosef is not going to hold something against them? Yosef says, you're right. There was a point of time that I really should have held something against you, and I did hold something against you. But va'ata, but now there's no more reason for me to be upset with you, because it's very clear to me from everything that's happened, you didn't send me here, but rather Hashem did. Then Baruch Chaim says something very, very interesting. And that is that there's a lot of discussion in the Mefarshim as to whether Yaakov ever found out what really happened. Did Yaakov ever really find out what happened? So, let me tell you, excuse me?
During the sale, you mean?
Did he know about the sale? Did he ever find out? You know, there's a lot of discussion about that.
No.
You know, and there doesn't seem to be, you know, you don't see anything, like, you don't see any discussion between them. Does that mean that there was no discussion? But there's a lot of Mefarshim who say that Yaakov never found out. Mm-hmm. Yaakov never asked. And according to one of the Mefarshim, Yosef never gave Yaakov the chance to ask. Now, the Aruch Chaim says like this, V'ulai perhaps, Ki bazeha yolahem panim la'amayi lefnei aviyem k'shenigla hadavar. Perhaps because of this, now the brothers were able to stand in front of their father when everything became revealed. Kehem agarmim lo'y ovel u'bechi chof beishana. They were the ones who caused them to mourn and to cry for 22 years. And they did this unbelievable and an inconceivable thing of selling their brother. But you don't ever see that they were embarrassed in front of their father. You know, the Aruch Chaim says, his approach is that you never find the brothers ever being embarrassed from their father Yaakov. You just don't find it. Maybe he's basing it on the fact that he gathered them all together before he died. You know, doesn't say anybody had any problems then. So what's going on? How could they be so comfortable in front of their father when everything comes out? What happened? So then he says, "Vayanira loymar." So one would say that Yaakov never found out what happened. That would have to be the answer. He says that's really. That's very hard to accept. How can it be that Yaakov wouldn't ask Yosef, how'd you get here? What happened to you the whole time? First they brought him his coat, dipped in blood, and now he's alive. What happened? Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense to say that Yaakov wouldn't try to find out about it, says Aruch Chaim. From Yosef's statement, when Yosef gets up and Yosef says, "You didn't send me, Hashem sent me here." It was Yosef's belief. It was that belief that Yosef had that he expressed to his brothers that now helped that made it possible for there to be this healing. The only way the brothers could ever stand now in front of their father is if they're all working and living so strongly with this idea that this was all part of Hashem's plan. And he breaks off, as Chazal say, Yaakov should have gone down to Egypt in chains. Yaakov had to go down to Egypt. There's not a question. Yaakov should have gone down in chains. But now that Yosef is there, he didn't have to go down in chains. This was all part, it was therefore is all part of Hashem's plan. Because of the fact that they all recognized, and I think we could say they all recognized this based on Yosef himself saying it, based on the victim himself saying that, that impressed upon them so much how this was all the plan of Hashem that they didn't have to walk around embarrassed from their father. Because it was all part of Hashem's plan.
So he did know?
According to the Rechayim, he did know. He did find out. He did find out. But being that, but by Yosef making this so clear that this was all of Hashem's plan, that allowed everybody to live peacefully together.
Does it say if the brothers blamed the father? I mean, I don't know.
Doesn't say anything about that here. All he's saying is, all it says here is that the Arachayim assumes the brothers should have been mortified to look at their father in the face. And at the end, he's saying, you know why that didn't happen? Because of this statement, because as I'll just read it to you, Alavadik Ibatinus Laatam Shalakam Shamar Yosef, by Yosef now making this statement, declaring, you didn't send me, Hukar Hadavrik Mayes Hashem Haisazais, it became clear that it was from Hashem, and Laharachmi Daisav, and you don't question Hashem's ways.
Well, but the brothers were happy with that, but they didn't need to tell the father.
Doesn't say, what do you mean? The father, I'm not sure what you mean by that. Yaakov was going to ask them. Yaakov, according to the Arachayim, the Arachayim is assuming Yaakov is not going to just sit back there and not try to find out what happened. Okay? So whoever he asked, the brothers, Yosef, whoever it is. But the point, his problem is, but after he, assuming that he knew, how can they look him in the face? And he's assuming they were able to. The answer is, this declaration of Yosef, this point that Yosef made, that this was all Hashem's plan, that is now, and that is what made them all recognize how clearly was Hashem's plan for him to be down here and to bring them down here. That was the whole plan. That was all of Hashem's reasoning. And we don't question why Hashem does the way he does.
Here's Alex. He has a friend, well, who secretly hates him.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Yes.
Do you want to know if the brothers had to ask for forgiveness or not?
Yeah.
Is that what you want to know?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Clearly they did. I you know, if you read the Arachayim, it may sound like, you know, it would sound like, nah, the brothers have no guilt because of the fact that, you know, yeah. But that's not just the Arachayim, you know, you can look at the Psukim and Yosef says to them, it's not you, it wasn't you, it was Hashem. So therefore what, they didn't do anything wrong?
And it's very hard, even, again, I finished the sentence, so then he pushes him into a ravine, this guy, and clearly no, assuming that he will die, it so happened there is some soft stuff there, he doesn't die, and he finds some gems and becomes a billionaire. So does he forgive this guy? I'm sorry for this convoluted story, but, so do you forgive this guy? His intention was to kill you.
Now wait a minute. He can't forgive you? Wait a minute, he can't forgive him?
I think he'll have a very hard time forgiving him.
If at the end of the day, Alex realizes is that this is the means by which Hashem made him rich, he can't forgive him? I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not asking it's easy for him to do.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, if you could... the thing is like this, okay? The way I would answer your question is that Yosef is dealing from his point, and the brothers have to go from their point. Which means, just like any time you talk about not bearing a grudge against what somebody does, the Sefer HaChinuch says, you don't bear a grudge, you don't take revenge, because nothing happens without Hashem's decree. Yosef is telling his brothers, I accept that you were the means by which Hashem brought about what he wanted. And therefore, for my part, I'm not holding anything against you. Did they have to ask for forgiveness? Perhaps. Maybe the fact that they were so frightened and mortified, and the Medrash says, I mean, I didn't mention this Medrash before, the Medrash says they were just completely just humiliated over the fact that they realized how wrong they were. Okay? You could ask a question, does it say anywhere where they asked for forgiveness? You know, later on it says, after Yaakov dies and they're afraid that Yosef is going to maybe do something against them, they actually come to Yosef and said, we'll be your slaves, you know, which means, you know, they are showing, you know, a certain level of, that is a certain level of repentance, asking for forgiveness, something. But it's a good question about the fact that, you know, do you ever find the brothers asking for forgiveness? There's also there's a famous Rabbeinu Bechaya that says that Yosef, out of his humility, never actually forgave them. And because he never actually forgave them, that's why we had the Asara Arugei Malchus. We read on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, the 10 Tanoim martyrs that died to atone for the brother's sin. Says Rabbeinu Bechaya, you know why there was never, why did they have to atone for it? The answer is because Yosef never forgave his brothers. Yosef was so into his accepting what Hashem brought upon him and not being angry at them that Rabbeinu Bechaya says he forgot to forgive them. So it's very possible that the way to approach this here, even though there's so many things that are kind of left up in the air because we don't see this, we don't see that, you know, which way do you go? But the point would be that Yosef, from his part, is saying to the brothers, I'm your brother, I don't hate you, I don't bear a grudge against you. It's clearly a very high level on Yosef's part to be able to be free of any bad feelings against them. But Yosef is saying that I accept this as Hashem's decree, and therefore I am not holding anything against you. I'm not holding anything against you because of it.
So the vice, he's been a viceroy for 9 years already. That could soften him up too. If he's lived a good life since, you know, he came out of jail and so forth. And there's a question.
Okay, maybe, perhaps. But the point here is, I mean, that's not what it says here. The pasuk says that the reason why he's not holding anything against him is because it was Hashem's will. That's what the pasuk is saying. And even in the Arachayim, I don't know if the Arachayim is taking away from the fact the brothers had to ask forgiveness, but at the same time, he could mean that Yosef's emuna, Yosef's belief and faith is so strong, right, that it really makes it clear to everyone that whether the brothers have to ask forgiveness or not, this was Hashem's plan. And if this was Hashem's plan, and Yosef is the one who's so strong about it, that impresses everybody about that, and that allows the brothers to be able to be at peace with their father. They can look at him in the face. They can deal with him. Because if Yosef is so strong about that this was all Hashem's plan, then that impresses it upon his father. Even Yaakov Avinu impresses it upon the brothers. It creates the atmosphere to allow them to be at peace with each other. Does that mean they're exempt from asking for forgiveness? Not necessarily. But it could mean, though, that Yosef's declaration creates the atmosphere that it's so clear that this is all Hashem's plan that everybody can live together in peace. Okay. Now,
was he considered a Navi, Joseph?
I'm not aware of that. Let's now go a little. Let's move on. Take a look at page 254. Vayasu chen b'nei Yisrael. I'm sorry. Look at page 254, Pasuk Chaf Beis, two lines from the bottom. As he's about to send his brothers back to their father, to all of them, to all his brothers, he gave a change of clothing. Binyamin received, to Binyamin he gave 300 silver coins, and 5 changes of clothing. Okay? Favoritism, right? So the Gemara in Megillah asks, basically, how could someone who suffered from favoritism do the same thing? That's the Gemara asks. Let me read you the Gemara. Gemara in Megillah says, Ev shadosh nistar ba eitzay tzadik, something that righteous man suffered from. Yikashal bay, he should stumble on it. Da'amar rava bar machasya, amar rav chama bar gurya, amar rav. V'shvam mishkal shnei sloyim milas shayisev Yaakov le'yosef mishar achiv. Basically, because Yaakov gave Yosef a more expensive garment than his brothers, niskagal hadavar, things evolved, The Yardu Avai Senel Mitzrayim, and our forefathers that go down to Egypt. So the favoritism that Yaakov showed to Yosef was a cause for eventually bringing everybody down to Egypt. And Yosef was all part of that, so Yosef is going to be guilty of the same thing. Amar Rebbe Yemen Bar Yefes. So the Gemara answers, Rebbe's Ramazloi. Yosef was giving a hint. He was alluding to Binyamin. She'asid bein lotseis mimenu, that there will be a son that will come from Binyamin. She'yetz melefnei hamelech, that he will come out from before the king. V'chamish levut srei machas, in five royal garments. She'nemar, as it says, Mordechai yatsa b'levush machas t'chelis, etc. Mordechai left, it says, he went out from the king wearing five different type of royal garments. So the five garments that Yosef gave to Binyamin were to allude to him that he will have a descendant that will be wearing five garments. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. Okay, now, a couple of questions. Question number one is, and this is the question of the Maharsha. The commentary of the Maharsha on the Gemara Megillah is bothered by the Gemara's question, right? We all say, Yosef is showing favoritism, right? Says the Maharsha that there's a big difference between Yaakov's favoritism and Yosef's favoritism. Yaakov has 12 sons, and he's showing favor to one son over the other. Yosef is showing something to his full brother. It's his only full brother. It's the only brother he has from his mother. So they should understand very well that if he treats that brother differently, that shouldn't be a problem. That shouldn't be a cause for jealousy. That's the Marsha's question, on the Gemara's question. Okay? That's question number one. Question number two is, what exactly is the Gemara's answer? Whatever the Gemara's question about favoritism is, the answer is that Yosef alluded to Binyamin that he's going to have a descendant that's going to come out with five royal garments. Does that take away the problem? If there's a problem with favoritism, and you say, well, the favoritism is about showing that in the future, you're going to have a descendant with its greatness. Does that not take away the problem? How does that answer the problem? Okay. The third question is, right. Another question that the Maharsha asks is that okay? Whatever the Gemara's answer is as to why he's giving Binyamin five garments and the brother is one garment, but the Pasuk also says that he gave to Binyamin 300 silver coins. He didn't give his brothers any money. So how do you deal with that? The Gemara doesn't even address why is there no problem of favoritism with the money that he gave Binyamin that he didn't give to anybody else. So the Maharsha answers his first question in the following way. That actually, if you take a look back on page 250, on the same page, on the above, Pasuk Yud Beis, behold, your eyes see in the eyes of my brother Binyamin, that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So Rashi is actually quoting a Gemara that when Yosef says, your eyes in the eyes of my brother see, why does he have to separate Binyamin from the rest of them? He should just say, and behold, you all see that I'm speaking to you. So Rashi points out that by Yosef actually separating them, he was trying to make them equal. You all and my brother Binyamin, you all see, you're all the same. The same way I have nothing against my brother Binyamin because he never sold me, I have nothing against you even though you did sell me. This was again Yosef trying to impress upon his brothers that he does not have anything, that he hates them. He's trying to show them, I love you as a brother like I love Binyamin who didn't do anything wrong to me. So Yosef is trying to impress that upon his brothers, that there is nothing that he is going to be feeling any more different towards Binyamin, because Binyamin wasn't involved in the sale, and you were. So the Gemara's question is that, okay, you want to tell me that Yosef is treating Binyamin differently because it's his full brother. But the Maharsha says, but you gave them one and him five. Give five. Now, if you're giving five, that's a little bit much. And that already can start making the brothers think, you know why he's giving him so much? Because he's angry at us, but he loves Binyamin. And that will then automatically bring about resentment to Binyamin, because Binyamin is now, Binyamin's not doing anything wrong, but Binyamin is part of this, you know, it's what's making the difference between the other brothers, and it's making a difference to Yosef. Yosef is favoring him more because he wasn't sold, he wasn't part of the sale. That's going to create problems with Binyamin. So yes, the situation is not the same, but the point of the Gemara is Yosef was a victim of favoritism. Therefore, Yosef should be more sensitive to favoritism. And therefore, in this situation, by giving five garments to one brother over the others, that's again going to show that there is a favoritism here. There is something about Binyamin that's special over the other ones, which would be Binyamin wasn't part of the sale, and they were. But that again would cause problems, because if there is this discomfort being created here through Binyamin to the brothers, that causes resentment to Binyamin. So why would Yosef do that? That's the question of the Gemara. And therefore, says the Marsha, the 300 silver coins going to Binyamin, that doesn't bother the brothers. That doesn't bother the brothers, because it's his brother. He's giving him a special present. The garments are the problem, because the garments are public. People see the garments. People see Binyamin has five garments and they have one garment. And they're going to say, you know why Binyamin has five garments? Because Binyamin wasn't part of the sale. And Yosef likes him better because of that. And therefore, it's the garments are the problem, not the money. You know, he gives him the money, pockets the money, finished. The garments are more public. If they're more public, that now creates the situation that people are going to think that Binyamin is being favored because Binyamin wasn't part of the sale. And therefore, there was a problem with the garments. The Gemara asks a question about the garments, doesn't ask the question about the money. Okay, but now we've got to answer the other question. What's the Gemara's answer? So there's a famous answer from the Vilna Gaon, in which the Vilna Gaon explains that we have to say that Binyamin's five garments equaled one garment of each brother. Meaning they all got a garment worth X amount, while the five garments that Binyamin got were only one-fifth of the value of what the other brothers got. So at the end of the day, they didn't get anything worse than Binyamin. Binyamin got more, but he didn't get better. On the contrary, if his five are worth each one's one, then on the contrary, each garment that he's getting is of lesser value. So therefore, there was no reason for them to be jealous. So the Gemara's point is, you know, what's the five garments about? Five garments is about alluding to Binyamin about the future. About the fact he's going to have a descendant who's going to wear five royal garments. That's what he's alluding to. Well, how do you deal with the jealousy? Oh, that's pretty, you know, jealousy is because the five garments Binyamin got weren't as good, where all five of them together were only as valuable as the one. And therefore, there's no big deal, you know. If he's getting five cheap suits, they're getting one expensive suit. Then you can't see that doesn't come across as favoritism. So what's the deal with the five suits? The deal with the five suits is because he's trying to hint him something about the future. That's how the Vilna Gaon tries to explain it.
Too complicated.
Too complicated for what?
Explanation.
You don't understand it.
I mean,
you don't understand it, or the Gemara doesn't say make a mention of it.
No, I think that the garment didn't come with price tags. It would have been very hard for brothers to say, "Oh, that's exactly."
You could say when you could see when something is of fine, better material, or something of lesser material. You can see that.
But then, if it is really the really poor quality, then using that poor quality to talk about royal garments also makes little sense.
Mm. Well. It's the number that makes the illusion.
No, I understand.
It's the number that does that. But that's how the Vilna Gaon tries to answer. Now, there's a way of answering the question, like, okay, why didn't the Gemara say it? You know, the Gemara is not mentioning the real answer. The real question was favoritism. The Gemara is not mentioning the real answer about the favoritism. It's just mentioning at the end, so what was the five about? So, you know, all right. But, you know, maybe that's how you have to learn the Gemara. So I want to share with you a very interesting thought that I heard from the Sefer called Taima Dekra, from Rabbi Chaim Kamenetsky of Bnei Brak. Take a look again at Pasuk Chaf Beis. Two lines from the bottom. Where the Pasuk reads, L'chulam nasan le'ish chalifais malais, to all of them he gave each one a change of clothing. You see the word chalifais? Change? It's spelled ches lamed fei vav saf. Continue. Ule Benyamin nasan shloish meyais kasef v'chamesh chalifais malais. And five changes of clothing. Do you notice a difference in the word chalifais by Benyamin? It's missing a vav.
Six.
It's missing a vav. Now, what that means is that the chalifais, when it says chalifais first, that's called, it's written shalem, it's written complete. When you want to, if you want to write out the O sound, okay, then it should have a vav with a point on top of it. That's the full spelling. If you spell it without the vav and just have the dot on top, that's called chaser. It's really lacking a letter, but because of the punctuation, you can still vocalize it the same way. How come by the brothers it says it's written full, and by Benjamin it's written chaser, missing? The answer is, it's alluding to what the Vilna Gaon said. Yeah. Benjamin's clothing was chaser. His chalifais, his changes were missing. They were lacking something. They weren't full, they weren't complete. The brothers, though, where it's spelt with above, their change was complete. There was a difference in the clothing. The brothers' clothing were shalem, were complete. You know, they were of a higher quality. The Yamans were missing something in comparison to them. And that is where the Torah is alluding to this idea that there was a difference in the actual clothing itself. And therefore, that would now be the reason why you don't have the problem of the jealousy. So what is the point of the five garments? Why did he do that to Binyamin? Why not give him a garment like the rest of them? The answer is because he's trying to elude. So again, the Gemara is missing, again, you know, the Gemara seems to still be, you know, the wording, you'd expect maybe the Gemara to say more, but at least this idea of the Vilna Gaon is alluded to in the Pasuk itself. Have a good night, everybody, and enjoy the rest of your Hanukkah.
Thank you very much.
Sibling rivalry. Things don't change.
Yeah. Well.
The Mefarshim say that